Hello and welcome to another InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. I'm Joe Gladyszewski, senior writer covering the ECAC Hockey League, joined by Inch co-editors Mike Eidelbiss and Nate Ewell, and senior writer Jess Myers, who covers the WCHA, as we kick off the 2006-2007 Inside College Hockey podcast season. Welcome aboard, gentlemen, on a recently completed opening weekend. Jess, you had the chance to see Maine and Minnesota at the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul, and we'll start with your impressions from that game.
Well, my impressions, the guy that impressed me most is Ben Bishop. I mean, man, quite a phenomenal game. I guess, you know, we sat pretty close to the ice in Milwaukee last year, and it didn't strike me then just how huge that guy is. Just lanky, and was kicking out stuff, and Minnesota outshot the Black Bears 16-3 in the second period, and Bishop shut him down despite all that pressure and despite having, you know, 15,000 or so Gopher fans waiting for him to fail. I was impressed.
How about the Gopher side of things?
Gophers are team turmoil all of a sudden. I mean, we knew they'd be young, but boy, 8 freshmen in the lineup, and you know, Tyler Hirsch, who was their leading scorer 2 years ago, who was supposed to be back this year, showed up, I guess, a couple minutes late for a team meeting on Friday, and that was enough for Lucia. He had him wearing a suit sitting in the press box and handed down a 1-game suspension. And then on top of that, Kellen Briggs is, you know, sitting out 3 games, first 3 games of the season. Granted, it's an exhibition contest against Maine and then 2 with Wayne State, so I'm thinking the Gophers can maybe survive, you know, without him. But he was sitting up in the press box wearing a real nice suit, too, for a as-yet-unspecified violation of team policy. You know, who knows what that is? I mean, let your imagination run wild. But, you know, without those two guys in the lineup, they don't have a lot of seniors to start with, and when you put 2 of them in the press box without injuries, that's a real young team, 8 freshmen in the lineup.
You know, if I would say, Jess, from what I saw, at least on TV, and I'm sure you had a better look at it, but a little bit of what I expected to see from Minnesota in terms of talent and those freshmen, and we knew what Okposo could do, or at least we had an idea, having him ranked number 1 among forwards, and a lot of other really talented guys up front. Guys like Barabal really impressed me, and you could see these flashes that you can get a sense will become more as the season goes on, I would expect, for the Gophers.
Barabal, I guess, if anybody, was the surprise. Yeah, we'd all heard about Okposo, you know, Johnson being the number 1 overall pick. Barabal wasn't even going to be in a Gopher uniform this season. He was a kind of a late addition to the roster that they grabbed when Phil Kessel decided to sign with the Bruins, and, you know, had their only goal and had another breakaway that Bishop stopped him with a glove save. So, yeah, he showed some real flashes. Not a real big guy, but, you know, I'm confident that Minnesota is going to be a pretty good team. It's just that was a night where Maine, with some senior leadership, you know, really seemed to make the difference.
Well, I think you're right. I was just going to follow up on that. I think you're right, and you know, you look at the setting, and you know, maybe if they're playing in Mariucci, where it's, you know, they've had some practices in there, and obviously all those guys have skated in there. You know, maybe it's a little more familiar and a little less intimidating than being in the X with all those people and kind of a little bit of a foreign environment. And you throw 8 freshmen out there, well, that's, you know, it's a little bit of a different deal. But, you know, from what I saw, and I thought Johnson was really good. He looked like he, especially on the power play, looked like he was in control, just very calm, and, you know, he did some nice things, I thought, offensively. And you know, I think that, you know, they lost the game, sure, and I, you know, they'd like to have the win, but I think that they're just seeing how those kids came out and played. They're going to be a real fun and a really intriguing team to watch as the season progresses and see how these kids grow and just become more confident and better players over time.
Well, the next challenge for Minnesota is being able to keep those players around over time. You know, with that much talent, that they are more likely to sign early and go to play professional hockey. You know,
well, apparently being able to keep them eligible week to week.
Yeah, that's also.
Yeah, that too.
If keeping Aaron Johnson around, Well, I was going to say, if keeping Eric Johnson around for multiple years is a challenge, I predict they will fail at that challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maine was not the only Hockey East team to have an impressive victory over the weekend, as Vermont won the Icebreaker Invitational in Oxford, Ohio, at Miami University's new Steve Cady Rink. Your thoughts on the Catamounts, Nate?
This is a team that I think could be flying under people's radar a little bit. They did lose some big names with Jamie Cyphers and Brady Leisnering, but got a lot of talent coming back. And remember thinking back to doing the A to Z this year and looking at some of the guys that we were picking out. And there were all kinds of candidates from Vermont. We had a hard time nailing down who we were going to feature. And that's usually a good sign. That means you got a lot of unknowns that could step up and play a bigger role for you. And I think they showed this weekend that it's mostly guys that have experience and could jump right into the college game and be ready to play and take advantage of the fact that Miami, with those god-awful uniforms, couldn't tell who they were passing to on their own team.
Well, I think one thing that helps Vermont certainly is the goaltending. I mean, we all know that Fallon's a good goaltender, and they've got all that talent. They are a very talented team, and it's kind of been, as you said, at least offensively, kind of Leisnering, especially last season, kind of been the ringleader as far as setting guys up and putting those other guys in position to score. But if Fallon's playing as good as he did this weekend, it'll give those other guys some time to find their roles. And if obviously we don't put too much stock in what happens in an opening weekend, but if your goalie starts out hot and stays hot, that can go a long ways.
Yeah, Buss, I liked what you said right there about not putting stock into this opening weekend too much. It's great to get off to a good start, but things will not be this way at the end of the year, just based on what's going on in the past. I mean, at this time last year, St. Lawrence had taken 3 points from Wisconsin. Other teams were winless and rolling toward good seasons. We can't just buy into the hype right away, and I think that's good for some teams that maybe struggled a little bit. St. Lawrence was one of those teams. Colorado College was one of those teams. New Hampshire was one of those teams. It's not all doom and gloom, and it's also not time to plan championship parades. How about Miami's situation with the new rink? I mean, they're hosting 4 games on national television, 4 ranked teams participating in the Icebreaker. It's homecoming weekend in Oxford. Chatting with Rico Blasi on the ESPN.com chat on Thursday, one of the questions was in regard to that, and I just think that's got to be tough to manage.
I would think so.
I mean, you have so much energy on Friday night, and obviously they did, that maybe it's tough to follow up that next night. And that's exactly what we see from the results. And certainly they did come out flying against Denver.
I thought it was interesting to see Miami win that game, frankly. I mean, going back a few years to this time, what was it, 5 years ago when Ralph Engelstad Arena, the new one, opened up in Grand Forks. I was at that game. Minnesota came in and won that game. And I asked Lucia after that game if he was surprised, to get a win with all the hype surrounding the new arena. And he said, actually, he was at Colorado College when the New World Arena opened. They got swept by Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I think, started out something like 0-4 when the Kohl Center opened. He said there's so much, just hype and talk and all that surrounding a building opening with, ribbon cuttings and fireworks and all that it's hard a lot of times for the home team to concentrate on hockey. So I thought it was impressive to see Miami come out and pretty decisively win that first game.
That's a very good point. Colgate was one of the teams that probably goes in that category of not getting off to the start they wanted to with 2 losses, granted against pretty solid competition. Now they play Niagara this Thursday in a neutral site game. I think it's going to be important for the Raiders to get back on track, and they're going to have to do it with leadership. The guys that they lost out of last year's senior class were were good players, but I think better character guys. And they've had a good string of that come through the program with guys like Adam Mitchell and John Smith and Joe Mormina. The talent's there, but I don't know if we can identify that one guy right now who can step up and be the emotional leader for the Raiders. So I'll be interested to see how they respond over the next several weeks as they prepare as one of the strong favorites for ECAC Hockey League title contention.
You know, that brings up a good point. I think, you know, you talk about going back to the icebreaker again or staying with the icebreaker and talking about Miami. These were their first two games without Andy Green, who obviously, I mean, the kid was the captain since he was a sophomore, or has been part of that leadership group there in Oxford since he was a sophomore, and all of a sudden, you know, this guy is not here, and that's obviously he was a great player in college, but his leadership skills, I think, are probably even more difficult to replace just because he had been kind of that guy for that program for so long. You know, and we talk about the arena opening, you can get by an emotion, but, you know, the second night, if you get caught in a tough spot or the guys are down a little bit and you're always used to looking to somebody like an Andy Green, it's, you know, there's probably a little bit of, well, where do we go now? Who's doing this? Who's taking that role and picking us up? And Miami brought back a lot of guys this year, but I think that role is going to be really tough for them to fill just because Green has done it so long and so well.
Hey, guys, on the topic of the icebreaker, and we mentioned Xcel Energy Center before, we talked to Bruce McLeod from the WCHA over the weekend. He kind of confirmed that it looks very likely next year's icebreaker is going to be played in St. Paul at the Xcel Center. Minnesota, Michigan, Boston College, and RPI. So we've got a 12-month out preview of things to come, but that sounds like a pretty good field and a pretty good way to start the 07-08 season.
That is a good scoop, Jess. I appreciate that. And it's quite a tournament. I know that's not sarcastic.
That's not a bad field at all.
No, you take that in a regional.
No,
yeah,
kidding.
Absolutely.
RPI would definitely take it in a regional.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So Seth Appert's RPI team will be coming in. If Seth is indeed the coach of RPI a year from now, I'm guessing he might be the Islanders' general manager by then, but who knows.
Former Inch contributor Billy Jaffe's got that job sewed up.
That's right.
He's their TV guy now. He's ready to hop right in as the GM.
He's next in line.
Anything can happen out there on the island.
A little shout-out to Clarkson. They did get off to a good start this year. They scored 11 goals over the weekend. One was an empty netter in defeating Niagara and RIT. And what was, I think, most compelling and strong reflection on what Clarkson can do is that 9 players scored the 11 goals. They've been building the talent level of that team and really have some incredible depth all throughout the forward lines and even on defense now, some guys who can chip in offensively. So I think Clarkson winning was good, but I think it's how they won that is more important from this weekend.
The other big thing there is that Niagara bounces back and beats St. Lawrence the next night. So you know you're not dealing with, you know, the typical thing where you say, oh, it's not one of the big four conferences, but Niagara's a team that can play and, you know, could very well be there in the end in the NCAA tournament and from winning the CHA. So that's a good win for Clarkson.
Yeah.
If we're giving shout-outs to, I think we owe it to Wisconsin to mention what they did Friday night. Brian Elliott, starting right where he left off, gets a shutout in the season opener. Back in Green Bay, where he got a shutout his last game, Mike, I think you were there for all 9 hours of that one.
So, yeah, exactly.
but I mean, you know,
I think the Zamboni was still on the ice from the end of that game. It was still just finishing up. He just dumped a load of snow from that Cornell game.
Wow. So, Jeff, that was a shutout shout-out.
That's very nice. Exactly right. Wow, good stuff. And then, you know, give credit to Northern Michigan, too, bouncing back the next night to earn a 3-3 tie. Now, Shane Connolly was in goal for Wisconsin in the Saturday night game. I'm going to be real interested to see what happens with the Wisconsin goalies, if they're going to try and mix Connolly in every now and then, or if it's just going to be Elliott's job again down the stretch.
I wouldn't hold your breath if you're a WCHA team hoping to see Connolly a lot.
Yeah. So if you're playing WCHA fantasy hockey, Connolly's, you know, a late round draft pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And only if you're related to Shane Connolly.
Right after that Adam Hauser pick.
No.
Is that Jennifer Connolly's brother by any chance? I mean, I talk to him more often if there was a connection there.
Yeah, indeed. Any final thoughts, guys?
Apparently not.
I'll take that as
Just heard a big rush of wind there.
It was a nice day today. I played 18 holes. And that's about it. An abbreviated inch podcast to start the season, but
how about this? What are you excited for? What are you looking forward to, all of you? What's the next on the agenda that you want to see, that you're looking forward to in the coming week or weeks?
You know, I'm intrigued by the cross-regional play at this time of the year, but I just think the conference games mean so much, and I think it's better hockey that I'm almost itching for conference play to begin.
Yeah, we've got some good ones coming up this weekend, and especially that North Dakota-Wisconsin series, and Denver-St. Cloud, I think, is pretty intriguing. Not to step on your toes, Jess, but out in your country there, I want to see how the Huskies can play.
I'm actually going to go up to St. Cloud Friday night, and I'm very intrigued to see. I had a real tough time picking where those two teams would finish. I had them kind of 4 and 5, and I didn't really know who to put where, and I'm very intrigued to see on the ice who goes where. I mean, Denver obviously knows what the atmosphere is like up in St. Cloud. It's a tough place to play, and then it'll be the season opener, and it'll be a well-lubricated crowd and noisy, so that should be fun.
I agree. I usually normally like to see the interconference play and see some of the top teams match up. You know, like we'll get later in the year with the showcase. It's always fun to see Michigan and Michigan State go to Minnesota and Wisconsin this year, I believe. But you know, the conference play, I think really, you know, you see that intensity and I think teams, you know, more now than maybe in the past are kind of taking, you know, you take a little bit of a more, I don't want to say a more relaxed approach, but there's so much at stake in those conference games where, the sense of urgency isn't there in the non-conference games. I like to see those conference teams battle this early. I know Michigan State goes to Western Michigan this weekend, and Michigan State people are looking for anything to divert their attention from football at this point in time. So, you know, there'll be a lot of excitement around my area, at least about the hockey team. And I think a lot of people in this area think they definitely can make it to the Frozen Four this year. So, let's play them. I'm ready.
And also, speaking of conference play, Army and Sacred Heart, Atlantic Army and AIC lift the lid on the Atlantic Hockey Conference schedule Friday night in West Point.
And when does the ECAC Hockey League start? Like December 1?
Ivy League teams can begin practice on Christmas and conference games.
And then they have three weeks off.
In January 10th.
They have 3 weeks off for finals. They practice for a week and then...
They have Midnight Madness and it coincides with Midnight Mass. It works out really well.
Well, there you go.
One event that is upcoming on the schedule, and it's it's quite difficult for ECAC Hockey League teams, the six non-Ivies, to fill out their non-league schedules because there's only 22 conference games in an ECACHL season. So teams like Colgate and St. Lawrence and Clarkson and Quinnipiac and Rensselaer need to find these non-league games. So you'll see them doing a lot of holiday tournaments, situations like the Icebreaker. One thing they've done to help fill those schedules is they're participating in a tournament, this non-league games in Albany to showcase those schools in those areas. Union and Rensselaer host it, also showcases the Pepsi Arena, soon to be called the Times Union Arena. And this year they are playing with Union, Rensselaer, Colgate, and Quinnipiac, and those teams will change from time to time. But Union and Rensselaer will be the centerpiece teams of that event. So that's one way that they're combating the crunch for non-league scheduling.
I mentioned this one, too, in the WCHA preview, but this is the weekend. If you love to drive, this is the Thursday-Saturday home-and-home series, Notre Dame and Minnesota State Mankato. They play Thursday night at the Joyce Center and Saturday night at the Midwest Wireless Center in Mankato, a mere 900 and some miles away. So gas up the car, put the kids in the back, put the Rafi CD in, you know, crank it up, get the sunglasses, skills, get to sing a Mountain Dew and some beef jerky and hit the road.
Is that your diet? Mountain Dew and beef jerky?
Yeah, you got it, you know. You know, I live in the Midwest. We don't have Tim Hortons, so we can't get the gigantic coffee and the Timbits. We have to make do with what we got. And there are beef producers out here, so.
So you have to drink liquid sugar and animal hides.
That's right.
The WCHA notebook is brought to you by Beef Jerky.
Jack's Links.
Wow, there's a sponsorship opportunity.
you write that one down.
Whenever I'm in Mankato.
What's that?
Whenever I'm in Mankato.
Oh, yeah.
I step into a Slim Jim.
And the mascot is a big cow, so, all right. Perfect tie-in.
On that note.
And with that.
No, why is their mascot a cow? Isn't a Mavericks not a cow? Is it?
Well, it's interesting because, like, the Dallas Mavericks, their mascot's kind of like a horse kind of thing. But you, Nebraska Omaha, they've got a year-head logo, so.
A bull, right?
Yeah. Apparently, a mascot is something made of beef.
Oh.
Or horse. or horse. It's Texas, who knows?
If it's got four legs, it's open season.
So should in Top Gun then, should the character Maverick, should he have had like a cow on his helmet? Whatever, I don't know.
It's not very intimidating now that you think about it. Why was Iceman would have killed him? You should have kicked
the flying cow.
Ah, there you go. This is just entirely going in the wrong direction now.
Yeah, every time we try to end this thing, then we get rolling again, and it just spirals out of control.
Remember all those summer meetings we had, guys, about not doing this?
So
we're going to streamline and do a much better job of closing out the podcast?
Yeah.
That was weird.
We shouldn't have started tailgating after those meetings.
Yeah.
We should have written things down.
We weren't
tailgating before the meeting.
I was going to say we weren't supposed to start tailgating till after. Should have written that down.
When one item on the meeting agenda is martinis, maybe are you in trouble?
Yeah.
Peach schnapps.
Peach.
Hey, don't give away Rook's secrets. Jeff Howe's secrets there.
Peach schnapps. Every inch meeting is peach schnapps and beef jerky.
Only the best. Only the best.
I think that recruiting video just about writes itself.
If you think you've got what it takes. end with that. We will sign off on our Itch podcast. Check in with us again next week. We'll have more fabulous insight. And thanks for taking the time to listen. You can subscribe to the Itch podcast on iTunes.